know what the biggest obstacle is for the government when it comes to creating dedicated servants to the state? Involved parents. Parents who ask questions, push back, show up to school board meetings and parent-teacher conferences. Organizations and institutions like teachers' unions and Planned Parenthood, for example, are terrified of them because it interferes with their bottom line, turning children into radical left-wing activists, whether that's in regards to race or gender. One Rhode Island mother knows this all too well. It started when she began asking questions about what was being taught at her daughter's elementary school. The school's response? Well, for tens of thousands of dollars, we'll give you that information. Now, she's in the lawsuit of her life, dueling with a district over her right as a taxpaying citizen and parent to know what curriculum is being taught to her child. Today, her and I get into the details of the case, what the red flags were that inspired her to ask questions in the first place, why parents need to stop being afraid of the domestic terrorist label, and the exact steps on how to fight your child's school to win. Please welcome Nicole Solis to the Spillover. Nicole, I want to get into this basically before the lawsuit, before the headlines. What grade was your daughter in when you became concerned about the curriculum that she would be exposed to?
Kindergarten.
Okay. And what year was this? How long ago was this?
Last September is the, so this all started last May, actually.
Okay. And so this took place in Rhode Island, so a pretty progressive part of the country. Were you enrolling her in public or private school?
Public.
And so I'm not a parent. So just in my mind, you know, I just imagine a lot of parents pick a school, you know, if their kids are not already assigned to one, they drop their kid off. They say, hey, have a great day at school. I love you. And then they don't really ever know what their child does for 8 hours. So what was it that started to make you question the curriculum to begin with?
Well, a year before my daughter was ready for kindergarten, my school took a position on the George Floyd killing that happened. And they sent out this message to the community saying that they stood with Black Lives Matter. They were using really highly political, radical language, like, we need to have radical empathy. We need to eradicate the school of systemic racism. And it was emailed to everyone in the community. And so I knew that my school was becoming political, but my daughter was still 4 at the time. So I just kind of put it in my back pocket. And then when I enrolled her, I called the principal to ask if they were teaching critical race theory and gender theory, because I was wondering if they were following through on all these promises that they were making, you know, since George Floyd happened. And the principal actually told me that they were teaching these things, although she wouldn't come right out and say it. And she said, well, with the gender theory, we don't call children boys and girls. We try not to, you know, use that, which I know it's like crazy. Why would you not call them boys and girls? They said that they refrain from using gendered terminology in the classroom in every grade, and that they embed the values of gender identity into the class at every grade at an age-appropriate level.
And so what does that mean? What are they calling them? If you're not calling children boys and girls, what do they say?
I didn't get to ask that, but I was once an assistant teacher at a preschool where we called everyone friends. But I thought that was just like a nice, cute thing to do. I was not thinking like, you know, 10 years ago that was what that was for. And I don't think it was what it was for when I was working at a preschool. But yeah, I don't know what they call them. I'm assuming it's friends or kids, maybe, I don't know, students, class. And then I asked about critical race theory. And at that time, I didn't really hear, I didn't know about critical race theory. I was calling it anti-racism, which we know is a tenet of critical race theory. So I said, are you doing anything with anti-racism? And the principal got very nervous and kind of quiet, didn't know how to answer me. And then she said, well, we have these common practices, and we also have a certain line of thinking about history that we teach students. And I was like, well, what line of thinking is that? And she didn't want to answer me. And instead she said, well, we do this exercise in kindergarten and we ask kids what could have been done differently on the first Thanksgiving.
What?
Yeah, like as if something is wrong, that something should have been done differently when the Pilgrims and the Indians had their peace summit to feel each other out, as, you know, cultures still do today. It's very diplomatic. And when I asked more questions of like, why do you do that? What kind of answers do you get? What do you do in first grade? What do you do in second grade? She didn't want to answer my questions. She said she was busy. And I had to write an email, emailed all my questions. They didn't want to answer it. Finally, they then tell me to submit public records requests.
Okay, so pause here. Public records requests. What does that mean? Who do you go to ask for that? Is that normal?
It's not normal to tell a parent to ask to submit a public records request just when you have, you know, questions about enrollment. And a public records request is a formal legal process where you ask for public documents from a public entity. So in this case, it's a school, but you can ask for public records requests from any government entity, any public entity. Every entity has a different process that they, depending on your state, they have to have it posted somewhere. For my school, they actually had a Google link where you can just click on this link, write down your name, the document you want, or whatever question you have, and then they get it to you. So it seemed like, all right, this is how they do this. I'm, you know, a parent, first time engaging public school. I was just following what they were telling me to do.
Was this your first child to enter school age, or do you have older children?
No, my daughter is now 6 and I have a son who's going to be 3 soon. I mean, I went to public school and private school, but I've never engaged them before as a parent. They told me to submit a public records request just to get the curriculum. And in Rhode Island, where I live, there's a law that says that if a curriculum has to be available for inspection, I can either go to the school or they can send it to me. So I'm entitled to it legally, but they're telling me that I have to do this public records request. So my first public records request was just to get the curriculum for grades K through 12, because I wanted to know what they were doing in every grade. And I then get old curriculum that they don't teach anymore.
How did you know that it was old?
I asked a teacher who I had happened to become friends with, because I was out at this time administering a private Facebook group where I was trying to raise awareness about indoctrination. And I was posting later to my group evidence that I was getting from my public records request so I could help people see what was going on in my district. So I then had to file a complaint with the attorney general saying that they violated this public records law. They gave me old documents. They knew that I wanted current documents. And then from then on, any other question I had to submit a public records request. They refused to answer me an email. I called, I left a message. They didn't call me. So as I was submitting these requests, and I was, should probably back up a little bit. So I was submitting a lot of requests, because when you submit a public records request, they respond to you with an estimate of how much money you have to pay to get the answer to your question.
Oh, so these are not free. When you ask questions like this, when you submit them in a public records request, they charge you. And what were you expecting to be charged, Nicole?
It was my first time. Some things they gave me for free, because if it was just like on their computer, I'm assuming like they could just email it to me. That was rare. Other times it was a $15 fee, $500, $9,000. My highest one I got, once I got a lawyer later, was $74,000. And that was a request where I asked for everything about critical race theory and included key search terms, because when you submit just a request for critical race theory, they're going to say they don't have anything because they don't label anything critical race theory. You have to think of key terms like equity, you know, Black Lives Matter, Zinn education, you know, whiteness as a construct, and you really have to be well versed in this. So the estimates were all over the board. I would try to negotiate with them. And so I was submitting a lot because it was kind of like a video game. It was like, well, if I submit this request, I wonder what estimate they're going to give me. All right, let me try to tweak it a little bit, see if I can get the estimate down. So they were working with me. It seemed like this was some weird process, but okay. They would email me and say, oh, did you mean this? Do you want that? And then one day I woke up to find my name on the agenda of a public school committee meeting saying that my school was going to openly discuss in a special school board meeting suing Nicole Solis for submitting over 160 public records requests.
And so did your heart just drop? What was your thoughts when you heard this?
I mean, I just happened to look at the school committee agendas and I see this. Yes, my heart started pounding because I couldn't believe they were doing this. It was like just psychotic. My husband, who is more cynical than I am, I said, "Honey, look at this. They want to sue us." And he was just like, "Ah, they're such losers. What do you want for breakfast?" Like, he didn't care. But I was like, "No, I think this is a big deal." I had never been to a school board meeting ever before. Like, I saw a couple on Zoom as I was getting closer to enrolling my daughter. But I mean, this was like, I knew that they were retaliating against me. I knew that they wanted to ostracize me from my community. And they wanted to send a message to all other parents that if you do what I do and you ask a lot of questions, that they're going to come after you. And so the first thing I did was contact a national media outlet called legalinsurrection.com. And they worked with me to help me write my own story about what is happening. I'm going to the school board meeting. They're going to sue me. Here's everything that led up to it. And here we go. And that was really the beginning of this sort of wild ride of running the media circuit, telling my story. And now that it's been a year, helping parents fight back against these school boards, because my case really undermines the narrative of the other side, which says that people like me are like political operatives or like, you know, generally evil people. And it's not true. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I've never worked in politics. My background is I was a lawyer for a short time before I quit and stayed home with my kids. I've never done anything with public records requests before. And they really just came after me for this.
When you first started telling your story about what was happening, that you had asked for just the curriculum that was being taught at your kindergartner school, and they tried to charge you almost $75,000 for that, had anyone ever heard of anything like that happening before?
I don't think so. I mean, no one had ever heard of, threatening to be sued, just trying to get the materials, just trying to know what's going on. I mean, I couldn't even get a tour of my school. They kept telling me they would give me one and then never give me one. And at that point, I was just expected to drop my firstborn off at school, not know what the inside of the building looked like, not meet any teachers, not know what she's learning, and just be like, bye. I mean, it was mind-boggling to me. And it was so counter-instinctual. I was like, I can't know anything about school. Like, this cannot be how this is normally done.
So you start sharing your story. You shared at that first outlet that you mentioned. And then at what point did you get an attorney? When were you told, I think this is serious, you need to get some legal help?
Well, legalinsurrection.com, once they posted my story, then Tucker Carlson invited me on his show. And when I went on there, I think it really blew up. And I got the attention of some public interest groups and lawyers. And I ultimately had the Goldwater Institute out in Arizona represent me. And what they did was resubmit a public records request on my behalf to get all of the critical race theory and gender theory materials. And that was the one that ended up being $74,000. We also filed some complaints with the attorney general because they weren't letting me into meetings that I believed were should have been public meetings. And it kind of seemed like after I did that, everything was going to die down. And, you know, my school board ultimately decided not to sue me. So it looked like it wasn't really going to go anywhere and that I had sort of successfully fought back in the media. But then 2 months later, the teachers union then did sue me. I get a knock on my door from a constable, and it's a lawsuit from the National Education Association, the Rhode Island branches, the Rhode Island branch and the South Kingstown branch, my town, saying that they were suing me for submitting these public records requests that my school told me to submit. And the basis of their lawsuit is they're asking a judge to withhold the records that I asked for because they are afraid that their teachers will be subject to harassment by national conservative groups. So if that's confusing, it is confusing because there's no legal basis to this lawsuit. You can't Right. sue someone because you're scared that, you know, something might happen in the future. And of course, no one wants anyone to be harassed. But, you know, the irony is they're harassing me with this lawsuit. And so luckily, I'd already had a relationship with the Goldwater Institute. And they are, of course, representing me on that lawsuit. We're waiting for a decision for the from the judge at this point to see if the judge will dismiss the case on the basis that it was a frivolous lawsuit only meant to bully me.
So the Goldwater Institute, for those people who have never heard of them before, what do they specialize in? Why are they helping you? What sort of cases do they usually pursue? Is this a First Amendment case? Like, could you explain that?
Yeah. So the Goldwater Institute is a public policy and education institute. I think I have that right. I should have looked it up to get exactly how they describe themselves. But they have an education portion of the Goldwater Institute, and then they have a legal portion. I know that they've handled public records request issues before, that I'm not the first person to be sued by the government for submitting public records requests. And since they have represented me, another mother in Virginia was sued by her school board over a public records request as well. So I think it's kind of becoming a pattern that these schools are going after parents that are trying to get information. It's my lawyer is John Riches. And, if you want to interview him, he can actually tell you a lot about what they're doing now too, because they are really strong allies for parents. And I recommend that everyone go look at their page and learn about them too.
Yeah. So speaking of parents, as soon as you spoke out, do you feel, Nicole, like you were empowered, or did you feel like a social outcast amongst the other parents in your community?
No, I'm so glad you asked that. I felt empowered. I've never had more friends and allies in my life. I mean, my Facebook, I had 400 friends. Now I have 1,500 people all over the country. I text with parents all over the country. My Twitter, which is Nicoletta0602, I have followers and parents that are always asking me questions, what steps to take next. And it was the best thing I could have ever done. I was not ostracized. They didn't win. And in this situation, I'm the powerful one. So I really hope parents start getting over their fear of speaking out, of really just asking normal basic questions about education, because they want you to think that you're going to be retaliated against. They want you to think that all these bad things are going to happen to you, but they didn't happen to me. Yes, they, you know, had this meeting where they put me on trial for my public records request and they retaliated against me. But I had people come out, hundreds of people come out to support me. And I mean, it was it's weird to say now, but it was like one of the best things that could have ever happened, because it showed what bullies these schools can be. And it also showed them that they should think twice before they retaliate against parents, because we have power in numbers. And you know, even if you don't get hundreds of people to come out and support you, you just stand there in front of your school board, remembering that these are ordinary people. You see them in the grocery store. They're not special. You are probably smarter than they are, and they are secretly more scared of you. So you have a right to be there. You have a right to know what your kids are learning in school. And just remember, these are everyday, possibly likely below average people, and you don't need to be afraid of them.
This is so awesome, because especially coming from you in a blue state, you are in a very liberal, progressive state, to feel like, oh no, my community actually rallied in support of me and stood with me. That's so encouraging for other parents that might be dealing with the same thing in similar states.
Yeah, you know, my town especially is very progressive. There are more conservative pockets in Rhode Island, but the key that I really couldn't have planned is my Facebook group. You know, I was just trying to raise awareness, and I didn't know that all these people that had joined my group would then come out to this school board meeting to support me. So if you're nervous about, speaking out, start a private Facebook group, or, you know, use whatever social media you feel most comfortable with, and just start building your support network. And you never know who's going to emerge as a leader. It might not be you. Maybe you'll just be the Facebook group administrator, but you have to start somewhere with organizing, because you know, in my situation, things happened to me, but I was also, you know, like oddly prepared for it all because I was doing my own investigation and, you know, making friends with people along the way.
What is the Facebook group called?
It's called Rhode Island Parents Against Indoctrination.
Oh, heck yeah. I love that. I love that. So I guess as of now, you still don't know what is totally in the curriculum for grades K through 12 at that school?
No, but let's talk about the word curriculum, because curriculum is a very specific term. And that, you know, the my school, I come to find out later, they didn't have written codified curriculum at all. They were just flying by the seat of their pants and teachers were teaching whatever they want.
What?
And that isn't necessarily, yeah. So, you know, you need to have a codified curriculum across all schools. So as a parent, you can say, well, is my child getting, you know, the same education at this elementary school versus this elementary school?
Right.
And my school, and I come to find out later, my school didn't have that. And, you know, I think maybe they just maybe never got asked for the curriculum and they panicked when I asked for it and they just sort of cobbled something together of all these leftover materials. But what I did find in other documents, because there are other documents that you need to see if you're a parent and you want to know what's happening, those documents include the materials for teacher trainings or professional developments. For example, I just learned today that a preschool in another state, I can't think of it, but it was No Left Turn in Education, which is an organization that can help you too, uncovered that teachers were getting trained to teach disabled preschoolers about whiteness. So what schools are doing is they're not going to put something, you know, obvious in the curriculum that says, here's the critical race theory class. Instead, they're going to train teachers to teach what they normally teach through a lens of critical race theory or through a lens of social justice. So you might see that your child is reading some classic book, but you won't know unless you see the materials that they're learning it like under a Marxist critique or something like that.
Yeah, that's really good advice.
Yeah.
So is your daughter still in that? Is she still going to go to that school or have you pulled her out, put her somewhere else? Are you homeschooling now? What's the status on that?
I pulled her out because my school was so psychotic. You can look, you can see the school committee meeting that they had where they literally put me on trial. They had public records requests that I submitted all organized on Excel spreadsheets. They even hired a PR firm to defame me in the national media. I went on Whoa. Fox News and they read a defamatory statement. So when that happened, I was like, yeah, this is psychotic. If they're going to target me with like public defamation, who knows what they're going to do to my kid. So I pulled her out and I put her in a private Catholic school.
Have other parents that were more conservative leaning in your community also pulled their kids out of that school or no?
I know of one other parent who came to my school later. So she came. And then I know of a couple other parents that are considering now pulling their kid out now that this school year is complete. And they send me messages on social media all the time saying, look what I found. Oh, my God. And so I think in my community, I've sort of become the point person where people send information, especially information that I can't really get on my own when it comes to like lessons that are being taught in school. And so I don't know how many parents are going to pull their kids out in my town in particular, but I know that in my state of Rhode Island, we have just 34 or 38 cities or towns. And there have been parent groups emerging now all over the state. And so I'm really hoping that that ball is going to keep rolling because Rhode Island is so small that I even though it is so progressive and liberal, I think that because of its small size, we could make some headway with at least like throwing some sand in the machine here and getting things to slow down.
As someone who has been fighting this for a little over a year, by the time this episode comes out, when you've heard the story about the government saying that we need to label these parents who ask questions at school board meetings as domestic terrorists, what was your initial reaction?
I thought it was a joke at first. I mean, it's so unbelievable. I mean, when I think of domestic terrorists, I think of, you know, the Oklahoma bombing. I mean, real serious stuff where, I mean, there's been like unspeakable tragedies. And so to call someone like me a domestic terrorist, you know, it's just like so offensive to the people that have really suffered under, you know, domestic terrorism events. But I felt like I was living in an Orwellian society, because the other really frustrating part of it is that people that don't follow the news, you know, that, you know, aren't like watching your show and like getting information from other outlets other than just mainstream media, they don't even know that happened. So, you know, on my Twitter, I have that I'm a domestic terrorist because it's satire, right? It's like Nicole Solis, domestic terrorist. And then I look like this. But then there are like, you know, leftist and liberal people who will be like, oh my God, she's a domestic terrorist on her Twitter. See, she is really evil. And like, I think they don't know that happened with Merrick Garland. And so it's amazing how there really are like two different realities going on in the world right now.
That's such a good way to explain it. Two different realities going on. At this point, what is your end goal with the lawsuit that you're involved in?
Well, we answered with asking the judge to dismiss this case. And we also answered with something called an anti-SLAPP counterclaim. Anti-SLAPP stands for Anti-Strategic Litigation Against Public Participation. And we are saying that and what that means is in Rhode Island and in lots of other states, you cannot sue somebody for their public participation because the cost of litigation and, you know, the public punishment of it all is illegal because we want citizens to participate by, say, submitting public records requests about what their kids are learning in school. And by answering with that, we also asked for limited discovery into the teachers' union to show that they were bullying and harassing me. So if we get that, that would be a really big deal because that means we get to depose people in the teachers' union and we get to take a peek into how they've been operating specifically with me. And if we can show that they had a plan all along to bully and harass me, then there's a good chance that I will get punitive damages, compensatory damages, and I forgot the other damages we argued, but we really turned this on its head against the teachers union. I think that they didn't think that we were going to fight back. I think they thought that I was just going to like drop out of the lawsuit. Because the other point here is that the teachers union is also suing the school district and me, and they're asking the school district to not release these records. I think that they wanted me to drop out of the lawsuit, ask the judge like, hey, I have nothing to do with this. Let this be between the school. I'm so scared. And now I stayed in it. And I think that they didn't expect that it would go this far.
Yeah, if we're going to make a fuss about something, I think as conservatives, it's important to take that all the way to the end. Like, we've got to fight till the end. And I think you're such an inspirational example of that. So for other momservatives, which is what I call them, that are like, okay, I really do want to kind of look more into my kids' school, what they're doing there, what's going on, but I have no idea where to start. What do you advise them to do?
So, try just calling your principal. I know, again, people might be scared of like, oh, I don't want to like be known, but you have to be known. You know, these are your kids. You are your child's only advocate. You're the only one that has a pure interest for their welfare. If you don't want to call, send an email. Send an email to the principal, the superintendent, the school board. And if you're not getting answers to your questions, that's when I think you have to start submitting public records requests. You can even email your superintendent and say, can you tell me the process for submitting a public records request if you can't find it on the website? The things that you need to ask for are the teacher training materials. You can say like for the last year, ask if they've done an equity audit. An equity audit is how they're going to analyze all of, you know, various data at the school to then conclude that your school is systemically racist. And once they have that conclusion in this very long report, my school's report was like 300 pages, they will then hire outside companies to try to fix this problem of systemic racism in your school. And they will start changing disciplinary policies, changing the curriculum. So get your hands on that equity audit because that will have a lot of information in it. And you can pull different things from that audit when you're thinking of public records requests. And you need to ask for emails because these are public officials in school and it's in their emails where you will learn how they're teaching these radical ideologies. Because again, it's not going to be jumping out at you in the curriculum, but still ask for the curriculum, ask for lesson plans. Everything you ask for, the worst thing they can do is say no, and then you don't get it.
And then what do you do?
Well, you have to decide if you think you should have gotten it, like if it does exist. In my state, you can file a complaint with the attorney general. It's very easy. All I do is send an email to the attorney general's office saying, hi, this is a complaint. I think they violated the public records law, and I would like, you know, you to take a look at this. At that case, in that, then the school responds with, you know, their argument as to why they think they don't have to give you these records. And, you know, you don't have to be intimidated by this process. I know I said earlier that I'm a lawyer, but I'm really just coming at this as a parent. Just argue your own common sense arguments if you're going to file a complaint and just say, well, I'm looking at the public records law. Look it up in your state. It says that I get to have, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know why they're not giving it to me. You know, at the end of the day, in Rhode Island, the attorney general has to make a decision about whether you were supposed to get these documents, and it has to be in compliance with their open records law. So the attorney general, you know, isn't going to make the wrong decision because I didn't argue well enough. So I'm saying all this for parents who are not lawyers and you know, are afraid that you're going to do something wrong. You're not going to do anything wrong. Open government, open records, this is for you. This is so that our government is open to citizens, right? You don't need a lawyer to do this. If you know one and you want to ask for help, definitely do that. Short of that, you just have to keep asking for public records because they're going to look at how you submit your request and they're going to try to find a way to not give you what you want. You know, like in my case, when I asked for the curriculum, they actually argued to the attorney general, well, Nicole didn't ask for the current curriculum.
Oh, brother.
Right. So they're going to be petty, but just keep submitting them because there's no limit to how many you can submit and you want your information. And at any point, your school, they could just email it to you. You don't have to do public records requests. You know, and they need to know that you're not going to give up and that you're going to keep asking questions.
This is crucial. This is empowering. This is extremely important information that you just gave us. Remind everyone again where they can go and follow along with your story and maybe give you any extra questions that they may have about something that they're experiencing in their school district.
You can find me on Twitter. It's Nicoletta0602. Send me a message. I'll try to help you as best I can. You can also look at the Goldwater Institute, who's representing me. If you think that you have, you know, something that happened to you that might have been illegal with public records requests, you can submit a claim on their website. And you can also check out Independent Women's Forum. They recently hired me as a fellow.
Oh, so that way, congrats.
Thank you.
They're great.
Oh, fantastic. Love them. Yeah. So I'm writing for the Education Freedom Center there. And yeah, you can get more information there as well.
Thank you so much, Nicole. And when do you expect to maybe get an answer to this lawsuit? Do you think it'll wrap up anytime soon in the next year or no?
It is a mystery. We were supposed to have a decision over the winter. So I don't know what the delay is, but as soon as I have a decision, I'm of course going to post it on Twitter and run the media circuit again.
Yeah, we'll be looking forward to that. Thank you so much for coming on The Spillover, Nicole.
Thank you.
I anticipated that when I asked Nicole what the response was in her community, specifically from other parents and especially being in a liberal state, that she was going to say she has no friends, that her life has been ruined, she's all alone. But how awesome was it that she said the complete opposite has happened? It was important for me to release this episode at the beginning of the new school year so parents would know exactly what signs to look for if they suspect CRT and gender theory are being implemented within their kids' curriculum and what the precise legal steps are to fight back. It's so crucial that every single conservative Christian mom who has kids in public school hears this episode. Send it to them. Encourage them. Support them. Next week, in remembrance of 9/11, I hope you are ready to hear a story that will stay with you for the rest of your life. New episodes of The Spillover drop every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can watch the interviews on the Poplitics YouTube channel or subscribe to The Spillover on Rumble. I'm Alex Clark, and this is The Spillover. Love you, mean it. Bye.